Well, there ain't too many of us here tonight, but coming up the road, I was thinking, I'm glad in 1980 I met the King. I met the King, and I didn't know the King. I didn't know who he was. But in 1980, I met the King of all kings. And I found a new way to live, a new way to walk, a new way to talk. I found a new style, but I found a way that became holiness unto the Lord. Yes. And I am so glad that I met the King that day. And he dealt with me, and I really appreciate him for taking me in into the marvelous kingdom and let me feel his mighty power and his presence. And what a wonderful walk it has been with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I find that people fall in love with the King. They don't cause any problem. They're committed to the King. They love the King more than anything. And do we love him tonight more than anything? I believe we have to love him in front of all things. I have to love him above and beyond everything because he is the King of Kings. Yes, and I have to stay committed, you know. And you say, well, that's been 30-some years ago. And how was your relationship with the King tonight? Well, it's better tonight than it was in 1980. Oh, it's supposed to get better and better as we grow in grace, as we grow in age. Yeah. But if we are not careful, we'll lose our prayer life and we'll become slack. Yeah. And we're too close to the coming of the Lord to lose our to lose our determination and to lose our commitment to the King of Kings. Yeah. It's too close. It's right here. The coming of the Lord is soon. The rapture of the church is right here at hand. Yeah. And it seemed like to me people are getting more and more lax in their commitment to Christ and being part of the bride of Christ. Yeah. The bride of Christ is a perfect lady. She's full of all the qualities that makes a perfect bride. Yeah. She is a bride. She's the bride of Christ. Yeah. And when we come together at the sounding of the trumpet, only the pure in heart is going to see God. Right. And only them that have on the wedding garment is going to make it in. Yeah. Those that don't have on the wedding garment are not going to be going in. Right. And you know, and I've been down this road for 30-some years and I've watched people and one of the biggest excuses that you hear, well, so-and-so does it. Well, I don't have nothing to do with what so-and-so does. Right. Why? Because I came in contact with the King one day, and he told me how I have to live, and he told me what I have to do if I'm going to live in his blessed court. And, you know, it is a blessed place to live. That the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we all should have a testimony that edifies the body of Christ and the building of the body of Christ. And we ought to be strong in the Lord. Paul said to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I tell you, the power of God is such a wonderful thing. And, you know, as I sit back and I go from one place to another, and I see people that could worship, they have an opportunity to worship, and they don't want to worship. Well, when I got saved, I wanted to worship. I praised him at the stoplights. I praised him at the stop sign. I praised him on the job site. I praised him in the hospital. I praised him everywhere I go. Why? Because the Bible said, everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. That is what I'm here for. And I want to be a good steward about what he's entrusted me to do. Yeah. And I want to be able to say that, you know, when he calls on that day, I don't want to be back from where I started, but I want to be ahead of where I started. Yeah. I want to be way ahead of the game. I want to, you know, I'm working for a crown. Right. And, you know, history tells us that when Paul was about to be beheaded, that he ran to Nero's block. Why did he run to Nero's block? They were going to cut his head off. Well, he said there was a crown of righteousness laid up for us on that great day. I tell you, you here tonight, there's a crown of righteousness that's laid up for you tonight on that city and on that day, and you can receive it. Nobody else will get it but you. Nobody else will get your reward but you. And if you worked for it and you labored for it, you're going to get what you worked and labored for. Ain't God good to us tonight? I believe we all ought to have a praise for him tonight. He's been good to me. Another day, another week, another year. I tell you, just a couple years back, I was a dead man. But I tell you, God was able, and he did what he said he was going to do. You know, and I'm just thankful tonight for the move that I know in my heart. God has been so good to me. I've been along this way since 1980, and it's been a whole lot of it's been a whole lot of battles along the way. I'm not going to tell you it's been a flower bed of ease. One old sister down our way used to say, when I got saved years ago, she said, "You think they're going to set you on the shelf and throw ginger cakes at you all the time?" Well, you know, in other words, she was trying to tell me, you're going to go through some things. And one time I entered into a trial and a test, and it was really so great, and I didn't tell what was going on. But my pastor knew me better than I knew myself. I thank God for pastors, don't you? A good pastor is worth everything. Hey, it's worth praying for him, you know. But he come by me in the aisle down there that night, and he looked at me and he said, he called me Big Brother all the time. And he said, "Big Brother, you'll be stronger next time around." I looked at him and I was like, "How did you know what I was going through?" I know. The Holy Ghost showed him that I was in a battle. I was in a battle so tough that it would make most men fall. But I tell you what it did for me. It drove me to my knees. When I got into this tough trial that I was in, I had to get down on my knees. I couldn't stand and proclaim the victory because I was under the duress. And I was in such a place that the only way to get through it was to pray through it. And you had to get down on your knees and get down to where God could talk to you instead of you talking to him. You ever been in that kind of a place? I've been there many times where I could talk to God anytime. But I like it when he stops listening and starts talking. And he starts telling me what I got to do. And telling me what I have to live. And telling me how I can win the battle. He told me that when I was going through this trial, I was in such a tight place. I don't know why. Maybe somebody needs us tonight. But I was in such a tight place. It seemed like everywhere I turned, Brother Ricky, it was this. And Brother Ben, it was that. It was no matter which way I tried in myself to work it out and try to fix it, it couldn't be fixed by me. But I went on over to the church and I got it on my knees and I got talking to the master. And he finally let me know if I'd quit talking and start listening, that I could learn something. And so when he got my attention and I quit talking, and he got to talking and I got to listening, then we had a communion there between God and one of his humble servants, and he told me how to win the victory, and he told me how to keep the victory, and he told me that he said, "Go with me." He said, "I'll go with you unto the end." He said, "I'll stand beside you even in battle, and your enemy will not destroy you." And he said, "I promise you that you'll win and you'll never lose." He said, "I ain't saying you won't go through some things, but," he said, "I'm making a way for you." And he said, "The redeemed of the Lord will say so, and I want you to proclaim my goodness no matter where you go, because I saved you for a reason. I didn't save you to be quiet. I didn't save you to sit down. I didn't save you to give up." He said, "I saved you to fight a good fight." He said, "I saved you to run a good race." He said, "I saved you to serve me and not nobody else but serve me. Live or die, sink or swim, whether you're well spoken of or whether you are cursed, you are chosen to serve me and nothing else." God is good, ain't he? I'm glad tonight. I don't mean to take up so much time, but God is wonderful. Every one of us in here tonight, we got food on our table. Amen?
Yes, sir.
You got a roof over your head, amen?
Yeah.
Clothes on your back. And you feel the mighty power of God. Yeah. Amen. I do. I feel it. Why? Because he said for me to live this day, without sin. Sin will separate us from God.
Yeah.
If we're not careful.
Yeah.
It's a careful walk, church.
Yes,
if we let anything sneak in,
yeah,
that shouldn't sneak in.
Yeah.
And it'll ease in a little bit at a time.
Yes,
why did Paul tell us to put ourselves under subjection?
Uh-huh.
Bringing ourselves under subjection to what? To die daily.
Yeah.
Well, how do you die? On your knees.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where your will dies.
Yes.
That's where you get down to business with God.
Right.
That's where Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's down on his knees and he cried. And he talked to God,
yeah,
not my will, but thy will. And it said, yeah, he prayed as his sweat became his great drops of blood. That was a prayer of agony. It was a prayer,
yeah,
of distress.
Yeah.
He was about to have to hang between the heavens and the earth,
right,
for all of us to have salvation.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, sometimes when you get into that place, it ain't many people want to go there today,
right,
because it takes crucifying the flesh to get in there.
Yeah.
It's a place where flesh has got to die out,
die
to the things of the world.
Yeah.
It's got to die out,
yeah,
to the doctrine, yeah, of the charismatics.
Right.
It's got to die out to the doctrine of the world.
Yeah.
This is a sanctified walk.
Right.
It's a holy walk.
Holy.
It's a pure walk.
Yeah.
And it's not defiled.
Right.
It don't mean to be, oh mercy, it don't mean to be, all. I always said I wasn't churchy, but I was saved.
Yeah,
and there's,
yeah,
a big difference. I go to church because I got saved one,
yeah,
day.
Right.
Because I found the great King. I met him one night.
That's right.
I met him on the road. I met him,
yeah,
on my knees. I remember 1980 praying at the altar. And it seemed, I'd get down at the altar and I raised my hand up to pray and I wasn't feeling nothing.
Uh-huh.
And I looked around and all these people was shouting.
Yeah.
They was dancing.
Yeah.
They were dancing. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, why can't I dance?
Uh-huh.
I said, Lord, people said, don't question God. Oh, yeah. I wanted
yeah,
the blessing.
Wow.
But I was praying at the altar. I said, Lord, what must I do?
Yeah.
He said, quit your sinning.
All right.
He said, I'll bless you.
All right.
He said, follow thou me, and I'll bless you. Right. Well, I thought I was doing all I know to do.
Uh-huh.
And he said, there's some things that's undone.
All right.
That you've left undone.
All right.
But Lord, I did this and I did that. And I did. I even tried to reason it out.
Yeah.
He said, but there's still things undone.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to show you what they are.
All right.
And so he showed me what they were.
Okay.
And when he showed me what they were,
uh-huh,
I was obedient to do what he said do.
Obedient.
And I had to just go down before God.
Yeah.
And it all started with an honest heart.
Yeah.
A man can't,
yes,
you can't dance before God,
yeah,
with a dishonest heart.
Right.
You can't love your brother with a dishonest heart.
Right.
You can't love your sister with a dishonest heart.
Right.
I've seen it rise, I've seen it fall.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, God knows the very intents of our hearts.
Yes.
His eyes like a flaming coal.
Oh,
and his hair is white as snow. And he can see every thought afar off. He knows everything that comes through you through one ear and goes out the other. If it don't stay there, you know what,
yeah,
I'm saying.
Oh,
but we have to be committed,
right,
to what God wants us to do.
That's right.
And you know, I believe we're living in the last days.
Yeah.
I've been reading prophecy for many years.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it's close.
Yeah.
I believe it's getting closer every day.
Right.
And every day I wake up listening for the trumpet to sound.
Yeah.
And it is going to sound.
Oh, yeah.
People say, they might say he delayeth his coming.
Uh-huh.
There is doctrines around to do that.
Yep.
But I don't believe that.
Right.
I believe that he is coming.
Yep.
Like he said he was coming.
Yep.
In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we are going to rise up to meet him in the air.
Yes.
And we're going to go to be with the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And when he comes back and set his feet on Mount Olives,
yes,
we're going to come back with him.
Yes.
We're going to be there with him.
That's right.
And that's when some of them are looking for him.
Yeah.
But see, there's a difference between his actually coming back,
right,
and his appearing.
Right.
See, when we go up to meet him,
yeah,
he is going to appear.
Yeah.
But when he comes back to rule,
yeah,
the 1,000 years,
coming,
he,
yeah,
is coming back and set his feet on Mount Olives.
That's right.
There's a huge difference there.
Yes, there is.
But I'm looking for the appearing of,
yes,
the Lord.
There
I want to have my ear tuned in to, so that when that day comes,
that's,
we,
right,
can go to meet him in the midair.
Amen.
Well, I believe I'm at home tonight with a bunch of rapture believers.
Yes,
that's what,
yes,
I'm all about.
Right.
I thank God for I got saved in the truth.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get saved in no other way.
Right.
And you know, the way God saved me, he told me to stay there.
That's right.
Anchor. He anchored me. And you know, young people today, they need to be anchored.
That's right.
They need to get something from God. They need an experience to stand on their own 2 feet. You know, and it's a sifting time.
Yes.
The church world is in a sifter.
Yes, it is.
And I tell you, it scares the...
Oh.
It puts a fear in me,
oh,
when I see the sifter turning people.
Yes.
And you know, God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
If there's confusion, then it's the devil.
Right.
And if the sifter is working, then confusion is working.
Yes.
And it don't work in God's house.
Right.
It don't work nowhere. God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
He can't do it. He won't do it. And I know that he is soon going to show people what he's going to do and what he's not going to do.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't know I was going to say all this. I do appreciate Brother Ricky, the fellowship, and the good folks here at Massanova. Been coming up here a number of years now, and I've always enjoyed my visits up here. And I feel like I'm at home here.
Glory.
And that's the way it's supposed to feel.
Yeah, that's right.
We're supposed to feel at home with one another.
Yeah.
You know, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
A wonderful... I heard Brother Birdsong say one thing years ago, and it always registered with me. He said, I like being around God's people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great thing, ain't it?
Right.
To be around God's people.
That's right.
And they're the best people on the face of the earth.
Glory
God a whole time because of your prayers.
Hallelujah.
God. And, you know, I know you got children that's out there in this world. And lost and undone without God or His Son. We need to come home.
Yes.
Because time is running out.
Yes, it is.
We don't want to see anybody lost.
That's right.
Somebody's going to be lost.
That's right.
Somebody's going to miss the sound of the trumpet.
Yes.
And somebody's going to miss it. Well, I don't know whether to sing. My voice has been so crazy lately. My breathing has been all messed up, so... But I do thank the Lord for everything that he has done in my life.
Yes.
It's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful walk.
Thank you.
And I was in the hospital, laying there in a coma. And a brother come in and prayed for me. And they stood back and talked to the doctors a little bit. All of a sudden, I start speaking in tongues.
Uh-huh.
We need the Holy Ghost.
Yes, we do.
You need the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, you need it. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's why Jesus says it was expedient that,
yes,
I go away,
yes,
that another comforter would come.
Right.
Jesus couldn't stay. If he could have, it would have been heaven on earth.
Uh-huh.
But it was not his time.
That's right.
So he went back to the Father and prayed another comforter would,
yes,
come. And he sent the Holy Ghost.
Yes, he did.
And that is to lead and guide the church in all truth. And light, and,
yes,
everybody needs an experience with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And so, as time moves on, I was talking today with a brother. I said, as time moves on, it seemed like the urgency to feel the power of God is not as important now, uh-huh, as it was 10 years ago.
All right. Cold.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's not, it seemed like the urgency.
Yeah.
I remember the day when they shouted in the doors.
Yeah.
I remember the day when they shouted out the doors.
All right.
And I was at a tent meeting one time, and there was a guy there, and he shouted up and down through the tent, and then he shouted around the outside of the tent.
All right.
You know, the shout is leaving the Pentecostal churches, and it's for us.
Yes, it is.
And it really drove the nail home when the Baptist woman said to me, "You Pentecost people ain't like y'all used to be."
Oh, yeah.
And I turned around, I looked at her, I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You Pentecost people used to shout all over the place."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, if we still got it, we still show it."
All right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Like Brother Shad says, it'll show up in your walk.
Yes, it will.
it shows up in my walk. You know, it will. It'll show up. I love it when the brothers and the sisters get into it.
Yes. Yeah,
and I know that ain't all of it, but it is part of it.
That's right.
And you know, the scripture talks about evidence.
Evidence,
you know, that's evidence of the Holy Ghost, the tongues.
Yes, it is.
Had a man come through one time, and he kind of got up and preached against the tongue. He won't preach at my church no more.
Right.
He best stay here in Oklahoma where he come from.
Yeah.
Because he ain't coming back no more.
Yeah.
Because the Bible, Paul said to forbid not to speak
forbid
with tongues.
Forbid not. Right.
You know, so. That's what Paul said.
Yes, he did.
I can't. I'm not. My name's not Thomas Jefferson. I'm not going to pen knife my Bible.
That's right.
Thomas Jefferson took a pen knife. He didn't believe in the. He didn't believe in the miracles of the Bible.
That's right.
So he took a pen knife and cut out all the miracles.
Yes, he did.
I'm afraid there's a whole lot of Thomas Jeffersons going around today pen knifing their Bible.
Right.
But we can't leave nothing out. We got to do what it says. Well. I'm just an old-time Pentecostal boy, and I ain't got no pulpit manners, and I'm just glad to be saved.
Yeah.
And glad to be here tonight. I'm glad to be one of them. Glad I got saved out of the good old days. I got in just in time.
Yes.
Yeah, just in time. I'm glad that I really enjoy getting around the camp meetings and coming to Massanoa and going to those Brother Savages. And he had a preacher's meeting over Harrisonburg last year. And, man, I wish he had one a month.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed it. Went over there and had a nice dinner and fellowship. And it was just, it was really worth the trip.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And I got confidence in my elders.
Yes.
Yes, I do. You know, and this is something that I'm going to stop
obey
in a minute,
God.
Brother Ricky.
Obey God.
One of the things that the devil is using is he's trying to tear down our confidence in one another.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
I wish you'd take all the telephones and throw them in the river.
Uh-huh.
I'm being honest with you.
All right.
You know, because it ruins people's reputations.
Yes.
And it gets in buildings and churches, and I've seen it going on. It's been going on for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know where it goes on or who says what because I don't get into it.
Yeah.
If you ask me, I tell them, have you prayed for them?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you prayed for them? Did you get on your knees and cry, Abba Father, for them?
All right.
You know, hey.
All right. Yeah.
I got better things to do with my time.
Uh-huh.
There are better things to do. Well, one thing is to pray.
Yes.
Other thing is to fast.
Yes.
Another thing is to assemble yourselves together in a heavenly place.
Yeah.
Assemble yourselves where? Together in a heavenly place.
All right.
Why does he want you in a heavenly place? Because he wants to talk to us and wants to teach us.
And
wants
right.
us wants us to worship. Wants us to be here for him.
Yeah.
You know, we are here for one another, but not only are we here for one another, we are supposed to be here for him.
Yeah.
Well, what if he had something you were supposed to say that night?
Uh-huh.
And you didn't show up to say it.
Right.
God saved me and put me in a place, and I stayed there till I moved on.
Yeah.
But I didn't move on out of vengeance.
Right.
I had to move on because of something else.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I know where God put me.
All right.
And being obedient, people need to be obedient to the Lord.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful age to be saved. Wonderful age to be worshiping the King of Kings.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just glad I met him one day. Aren't you?
Thank you, Lord.
I believe you got something to praise Him for tonight. And you got something to be thankful for.
That's right.
You know, and years ago, the Lord was dealing with me, and I remember way back before I even started dating Debbie, I was out in the mountains, and I was into drugs and alcohol and rock and roll and party, and, you know, church wasn't where I wanted to be. It wasn't something, I never chose this life. I didn't choose to, my first choice, I was somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
But God changed my mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
And He changed me. And I was up in the mountains one day, and I'd been smoking some weed, we called it, and I was sitting on a rock there, and thought come to me, so what are you going to do with your life?
Uh-huh.
And I looked at that weed, and I thought about where I was at, and my father had been dead a few years, and I was just a young teenager, and I don't know, I guess I was probably 18 years old or so, and thought you knew everything. You really didn't know anything.
Uh-huh.
And But the Lord was dealing with me, and I said, well, the first thing I got to do is I got to straighten up. And so that day I quit smoking weed.
Uh-huh.
I said, no more. All my friends kept coming back, and they said, come on and go with us. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that no more. And so the next night they come back again. I said, I told you I'm not doing that no more. And I quit. I did.
Yeah.
And God gave me the willpower and the determination to quit.
All right.
And I wasn't even saved.
All right.
And so it was just not too long after that, I started dating Debbie. And now here's a Pentecostal preacher's granddaughter. And here's an old hippie, and I don't know. They accepted me in the family, and I would say that I would be honest and say that if that was my daughter, I would have had some questions, you know.
Yes.
And I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
So they were good to me, and they lived the life before me, and they lived their testimony before me, and it was good, and it was right, and they said the right things. And I had my hair cut in a long shag down my back, and I was standing in Brother Ben's kitchen one day, and he said, you know, a man could get him a haircut and get saved. And
uh-huh.
I looked at him, and I didn't nothing raise up in me.
Uh-huh.
Because I felt the love.
All right.
See, it wasn't sarcasm.
Right.
It was love.
Love.
And I felt the love.
Yeah.
He was worried about my soul.
Yes.
And so I said, yeah, a man could do that. Well, it wasn't too many years after that I did that.
I
went to the altar and repented. And on Monday, I found myself a barbershop.
Thank you, Lord.
And I got myself a Pentecostal haircut.
Yes, sir.
And you know, it felt good, too, when it come off.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost enough to make you shout out the barber's chair.
All right.
Because all of a sudden you was going from a sinner to being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
What a wonderful experience that is.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to take up, I'll come up to your brother Ricky preach or somebody preach tonight. But I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be saved.
Oh,
I'm glad,
yeah.
Glad for the truth. And,
that's right.
The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not.
That's right.
And people are selling out today for less. And they really shouldn't be selling out. It's time to move closer.
That's right.
It's time to get closer and move closer.
Yeah.
There's no time to sell out. And, you know, if we're not careful, we'll sell out for something and we'll get in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's critical. It really is.
God.
It's as critical as it's ever been in the church age. You know, after the Brother Freed come to Sandy Bottom 1932 preaching an old schoolhouse up there, and he had gotten saved up in Lakewood, New Jersey, and I got his Bibles where one of his family members gave me. I think it was 1928, and he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or 29. Better not say for sure, but it was right in that time frame. And the Lord showed him mountains, and he come down to Sandy Bottom, and was, I believe they said he was sleeping on a wood pile, and preaching in the schoolhouse at night, and he cut his coat up to patch his pants. More patches, more power.
Oh,
and And ain't many people that would have gone through that for the gospel's sake. And he went through it for the gospel's sake.
Thank you, Lord.
And out of that revival, Brother Talmadge Roach got saved, and Brother Ben came along and got saved. And he went into the heart of the mountain people up there and preached old-time holiness. And it took some pretty powerful preaching back in those days, because they were preaching in Moonshine Holler.
All right.
And they was up in there in the thick of it. And
yeah.
Brother Freed was a man for the job. I never did know him. I just got a picture of him. And I look back at those elders, and I really had a lot of respect for them. And Brother Ben one time, and Brother Talmadge was over at Goshen Pass over there preaching one time, and they had an onion. They was hungry, and that was all they had.
Uh-huh.
And so they had a piece of bread, and Sister Mary wanted to take it home and seed it, and Brother Talmadge said, "Mary, that onion is as good as it's ever going to get." So they sliced that old onion up and put it between piece of bread, what we country people call hoe cake bread. And they eat onions and slice of onion and a piece of hoe cake bread. Uh-huh. Well, I tell you, if you do that, you want to preach the gospel, don't you?
Yes.
You got a love for the gospel.
Yeah.
They're sleeping on boards. So I'm glad for my roots, and I'm glad that they paid the price for me to get saved. Yeah. I might try one song if I can get it out.
All right.
This old world's no place for living. Not enough caring and not enough giving. Sometimes clouds and sin and sorrow hide the way. But this life of stormy weather ain't gonna be my home forever. Gonna be moving one of these days. I'm gonna be moving away. I'm gonna be moving, yeah, one of these days. When I leave this life behind me, troubles, cares are never gonna find. Gonna be moving one of these days. There won't be any time for crying, no more sickness, toil, or dying. Joy awaits me, that mansion far away. When I rest from all my labor, Lord's gonna be my next door neighbor. Gonna be moving one of these days. I'm gonna be moving. I'm moving away. I'm gonna be moving. Yeah, one of these days. When I leave this life behind, troubles and cares are never gonna find. Gonna be moving. One of these days. This whole world's a place for living. Not enough caring and not enough giving. Sometimes clouds and sin sorrow hide the way. This life of stormy weather ain't gonna be my home forever. Gonna be moving one of these days. So I'm gonna be moving. I'm moving away. I'm gonna be moving. Yeah, one of these days. When I leave this life behind me, and cares are never gonna find me. Gonna be moving one of these days. Well, I'm gonna be moving. I'm moving away. I'm gonna be moving. Yeah, one of these days. When I leave this life behind me, shouldn't care to never go back. Moving. One of these days. I'm gonna be moving. Well, I'm moving away. Well, I'm gonna be moving. Yeah, one of these days. When I leave this life behind me, then cares are never gonna find me. Moving. Yes, amen. Yes. Yeah, we are moving out one day.
Moving, yes. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Depart for the price.
Yes.